Welcome to the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast with co-founders and hosts, Tracy Callahan and Deborah Doak. Each week, we tackle another tough topic to help professional divorce coaches maximize client impact and cultivate thriving practices. We also want to spread the word about the expertise and value that certified divorce coaches bring to the table. At DCA, we are committed to ongoing learning and we value generosity among divorce coaching professionals. We believe that when one succeeds, we all succeed.
Welcome back to the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. I'm Deborah. I'm here with Tracy.
Hi.
Hi there. Hey, you know, these days with all the talk of narcissists, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, and coercive control, we've been getting a lot of questions from divorce coaches about how, when, or even whether they should be working with clients involved in these situations. So today, I think we said we'd like to clarify the specific role a divorce coach plays, right? And we want to examine the circumstances where coaches need to be cautious that they're not crossing the line into advising, advocacy, or the unauthorized practice of law in their efforts to protect these clients that are dealing with high conflict or intimate partner violence. According to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention National Intimate Partner and Sexual Violence Survey, 41% of women and 26% of men experienced domestic violence in the form of physical violence, sexual violence, and stalking during their lifetime.
It's crazy.
This is a thing, right? In addition, over 61 million women and 53 million men experience psychological aggression by an intimate partner. This form of domestic violence includes controlling behaviors in the form of emotional, mental, and economic abuse. You know, it's a startling statistic. And so it's not uncommon for us as professional practicing divorce coaches to work with clients who may have or are continuing to experience this kind of abuse in their marriage or their relationships.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon. We deal with it all the time. Mm-hmm. And when we have this client who feels that they and or their children are unsafe physically, emotionally, or financially, it's tempting to want to throw on that superhero cape and rush to the rescue.
Yeah.
Right? It's possible you've had personal experience or you've had similar situations with other clients and you feel like you know what this client should do.
Yep.
But big buts. We always have big buts, right?
Yeah.
There are many reasons that may not be best for your client or best for your practice. And most importantly, it's not coaching to put on the superhero cape.
Not coaching.
So to set the stage for our conversation today about where this line is between divorce coaching and domestic violence advocacy, let's begin by outlining some basic definitions. So, Tracy, can we start with defining the term divorce coach?
Yeah, not unheard of. We love to define divorce coaching, right?
Right.
And why? Why? Because there's a need. Okay. So the American Bar Association identifies divorce coaching as a method of alternative dispute resolution and defines it as a flexible, goal-oriented process designed to support, motivate, and guide people going through divorce to help them make the best possible decisions for their future based on their particular interests, needs, and concerns. And if you're practicing divorce coaching, you do not have that memorized as of yet, please, please do so. Okay. At DCA, we define divorce coaching as an individualized, interest-based, and future-focused process that is rooted in client self-discovery and self-determination, client self-discovery and client self-determination. This means that we trust that our client has their own answers and is able to make decisions that are best for them. Please, 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 we are not cheerleaders. That is a misconception based on the life coaching model and is often spread by others in this space. Please, if you haven't listened to episode 50 for more on that. All divorce coaches are strategy partners, and all divorce coaches support clients in all levels of conflict. There is no such thing as a high conflict divorce coach that is different than a professional practicing divorce coach. Okay. Now, in our role as divorce coaches, we do provide information and education to our clients. Yeah. So let me define the word educator. An educator is defined as someone who develops the faculties and powers of a person by teaching, instruction, or schooling. One very important component of education within the context of divorce coaching is that it is always permission-based. Yes, we ask for permission. We do not offer unsolicited information, no matter how helpful or how much we think the client needs it. Our role is one of support, not leadership, which leads us into the next term we need to define. An advisor is defined as a person that offers a professional opinion or recommendation as a guide to action, conduct, et cetera, to clients. This is where things begin to get sticky in our world. When clients are feeling scared, overwhelmed, and confused, they are often seeking answers and advice. While coaching does involve education, it does not involve telling clients what to do. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to reference another episode, right? To hear more about this, go back and listen to episode 27, our favorite, curse words in coaching.
And you now should, I think, I believe.
I know. Yeah. Okay. And finally, let's talk about the word advocate. According to the dictionary, it means one that argues for, supports, or defends a cause or pleads on another's behalf. While we care deeply about our clients, one of the primary tenets of divorce coaching is the ability to remain neutral. We do not bear responsibility for the outcome. Unlike an attorney, we do not defend or represent our clients, nor do we plead on their behalf. Right. So there is some very distinct differences as well as crossovers in these different definitions. But there, with getting that clarity is so very important.
It is. It really is. So thanks. We've got the clarity now about what is a divorce coach? What is an educator? What is an advisor? What is an advocate? So now we have those clear lines delineated. So let's talk through a client scenario and see how and when someone might cross the line between coaching, advising, and advocacy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's meet Michelle. Let's call her Michelle. She's a new client. And she tells you she wants to get divorced, but she's afraid for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
She says her partner is emotionally and verbally abusive to both her and their two young children. She's financially dependent. And her spouse has threatened many times to cut off financial support and take the kids if she ever tries to leave. Michelle has no access to marital money other than a joint credit card, and every purchase is scrutinized. So she has a friend who generously paid for her to have coaching sessions with you.
Yeah.
Her partner also tracks her location constantly. She desperately wants to leave, but is scared to death what that might mean. Okay.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And we've all had Michelle as a client or some variation of Michelle, right?
Yeah.
And the human in all of us probably wants to jump right in and start giving Michelle advice about what to do to stay safe. We've seen some things. We have some ideas about what moves her partner might pull. And we understand some of the legal processes that could protect her. But hold up.
Yeah.
That would immediately be crossing the line into the role of advisor, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, recall this is a new client. There's likely a ton you haven't explored yet with her in terms of the basis for these fears, beliefs, and assumptions, right? A coaching approach requires we begin by identifying her specific fears, reality testing them, and supporting her in determining her needs. Remember the famous line, fears are often just questions waiting to be answered or a plan waiting to be developed. Skipping this step and jumping straight into problem solving or advice giving could also escalate conflict unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, Michelle is telling you that she has felt really underpowered, disempowered in her marriage. And giving her direct advice, telling her what to do, is just further diminishing her power by assuming she's incapable of making those decisions for herself.
Yeah.
And finally, coaching is a relationship that develops over time. We don't need to feel the pressure to help Michelle get to her destination in one session. It's unrealistic. Coaching is an archaeological dig where we are sifting layer by layer to help clients clarify their goals, prioritize, gather information, develop skills and strategies, reflect and assess to see what's working. What do they still need? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
We don't have to jump in.
No. And jumping in, right, is very well, could be harmful to the client as well. Okay.
As well.
So let's start with some basic coaching techniques. Where do you start with Michelle if she were your client? Wow. That's easy for me, right? As always, I would start with the GPS, right? For those of you that are familiar with the concept, it stands for gather, prioritize, and strategize. So you can learn more about that again if you haven't heard from us in episode 66. Please, a really, really important part of our coaching framework. Michelle is showing up with a dump truck full of concerns. You cannot possibly address all of those concerns at one time. So we can use good reflective listening and powerful questioning skills to narrow the focus for a particular session to something she can make progress on. Again, for Michelle to identify what her current priority is, not us.
Not us.
Us, because more than likely, we would be wrong. I'm just going to say it. We would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're not Michelle. We're not in Michelle's head. We're not in Michelle's body, right? So that might sound like, Michelle, thank you for sharing all of that. And it sounds like you've really been struggling. I'm hearing that you've made the decision to divorce, but you have some real concerns about the repercussions you could experience once you take action. Can you tell me more about your specific fears about what might happen? Okay. What are we doing here?
Tell me more.
We're being curious. We're not making assumptions.
Right.
Okay. So let's say she says her biggest, most immediate fear is that her partner will cut her off access to her credit card and she won't have any access to money, right? One of probably the most prominent fears we often hear. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the time to ask, not tell, what she needs. Given that's your concern, what do you feel like you would need to have in place to feel secure in the event that happens?
What?
Okay. Now, what if she says she has no idea? She's scared and confused and really wants you to tell her what steps to take. Take a breath. Resist the urge. Keep the cape in the closet. Recall from our episode a couple weeks ago that humans crave certainty. And that's where many coaches go off the rail. They are uncomfortable with their clients' uncertainty and misinterpret their role as helpers. Our role is not to solve the client's problem, but to help them gain the clarity about what they're willing to do to solve their problem. Right?
Right.
We all know, right? And I'm using air quotes here, some of the practical steps this client should take to protect her against this tactic of spousal starvation. Right? Set up her own bank account, stash cash, get her own credit card, find a way to earn income, and on and on and on. But here's the deal. Divorce coaching is not advice giving or advocacy. It is much more nuanced and requires more patience. So we keep up the powerful questioning. What would happen if your partner cut off the credit card? What would you need money for? This will allow Michelle to identify how much she would need to start to create a plan to get that money. This opens the door to strategy, not cheerleading, strategy and empowerment.
Empowerment. She is a co-creator of the plan.
Yeah.
To figure out how much she needs and how she wants to get it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What if you get a different answer? What if she responds by telling you she's really afraid her husband will harm her or the children? Yeah. She shares that things have been escalating recently, including things like taking her phone and her car keys, blocking her from leaving rooms, and waking her at night to argue. She says she's observed that her partner's losing patience with the kids really easily. She's had to intervene on several occasions to keep it from becoming physical. She believes they could be in imminent danger. Okay. Well, now you've found yourself, right, in a potentially very different and very difficult situation.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you may be familiar with steps necessary to file a restraining order or the documentation that needs to be collected to support a custody case. But Michelle now needs additional support. As well-versed as you may be with narcissists, high conflict divorce, or coercive control, you are putting yourself, your client, and your practice at risk if you step into the role of advisor with clients in imminent danger.
Yeah.
Guys, this is absolutely serious stuff and nothing to mess around with. We have all heard stories of victims who called 911 for assistance and ended up being the ones hauled off in handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Or victims who've been harmed despite there being a restraining order in place. Or people who have made the wrong move and lost custody to their abuser. While you can absolutely continue to work with Michelle on strategy, decision making, emotional management, you can also help her identify a local attorney or a local domestic violence advocate who can support her in navigating the legal options available for protecting herself and her children. So yeah, let me throw.
Safety. Yeah. Legally protecting herself. Getting
legally.
Herself and children to safety. Okay.
Yes. You can work on strategy.
Yes. Strategy of making a plan.
Yes.
To address those fears and concerns.
Yes. So let me just throw out a couple. I'm sure you're aware of these. You may, if you work in your local area, you may know your local resources, but there's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. The website is thehotline.org. The phone number is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 7233. There's also a website, womenslaw.org. Womenslaw.org lists, you can find down to the county local domestic violence resources. Okay.
Yeah.
So the phrase high conflict divorce is everywhere right now, but we know that all divorce involves conflict, right? Yeah. So, you know, this is a situation where at the beginning of our relationship with a client or as new information becomes available, we really need to take that coaching approach and identify fears and reality tests like you modeled at the beginning to differentiate what's the basis of this fear. What are we really afraid will happen? And make sure our client has the right resources so that we are not stepping over that line into advice giving or advocacy or legal advice.
Yeah.
Right. And we've talked before, UPL carries, it's a felony.
Felony.
It carries a huge fine and a prison sentence. This is not something you want to be doing as a business owner.
Yes. And most domestic violence advocates have a whole separate training. A lot of them stem from having a bachelor's or master's degree in social work, right? There is a clear difference. There's a separate training. Okay. So yep. I really want to stress, right? This phrase of high conflict divorce is everywhere right now, just as you talked about, Deborah.
Right.
Right. But all divorce involves some conflict. And just because couples are disagreeing or acting in their own best interest doesn't mean that it is a critical situation. Yet we have a responsibility to be able to listen without judgment, without our own perspectives, to try to help the client identify what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you figure out what your role as a divorce coach should be when conflict is ramping up? Okay. And we have three kind of guidelines that we really, really stress. One is, what is your comfort zone? What right. is your comfort zone? If this is not a space, then this client needs to be referred out to somebody, a colleague, or somebody else that has that level of expertise that they feel comfortable with. And that is okay.
It's perfect.
It is okay. We applaud it. We celebrate you. Understand your comfort zone, right? Be very specific about your coaching agreement, right? Clients, part of us is not only defining it for ourselves, but making sure our clients are very aware of what it is that we do and don't do. Okay. This yeah. is very clearly communicated in your coaching agreement. Mm-hmm. And three, your professional ethics. Upholding, right, to a standard of practice. So if you are out there practicing without training and certification, we're asking you to give us a call, check us out, come get certified. If you are a practicing divorce coach who's been trained in a life coaching process, I'm going to ask you also, reach out, learn about what it is we do, because we are not cheerleaders. We are grounded in alternative dispute resolution. We support clients in navigating and resolving conflict. Okay. Mm-hmm. So be clear on what your professional ethics are as well as your standards of practice.
Right. The other one I want to add is your consult call.
Yes.
Right. So it's not unusual, uncommon for me to have somebody hop on a consult call and tell me, you know, they want help getting sole custody, or they want help with this particular thing. What they're looking for is legal advice. And I farm that right out. I screen them right out in the consult call by explaining that I don't do that. That's not how I work. I explain how I do work. I go through my coaching agreement. I explain the role I play, and they're not a good fit for me.
Yep. Yep. And again, that piece aligning, right? It all ties in together here, right? What right. your comfort zone is, how you define your practice, what you do and do not do and offering in your practice, making sure that's aligned in your communication, in your consultations, as well as in your coaching agreements that then are further under the umbrella of our professional practice of ethics and standards of practice. Okay. So again, so much here, right? This line between coaching and advocacy, really, really, really important. You got to get clarity on it for yourself first.
Right.
Clarity for you. Okay. What does this mean for you in your practice and in your work? Okay. But we are not advocates, and we are not here to tell our clients what to do. We are here to support our clients and helping them make decisions for themselves. We are giving that power back to them. And yes, it is hard, but yes, they can do it with your support. So thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you join us again as we explore lots of different issues in the world of practicing divorce coaches. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for joining us for the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. It helps other divorce professionals find us and add to the conversation. And don't forget to follow us on social media to be the first to know when we add new classes and events. We'll be back next week with another topic to help you maximize client impact, create a thriving business, and promote the value of professional divorce coaching.